Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I'm like, you got to understand that the service has to be flawless from the first table to the last. There's no warm-up table. And then there's no like last table like, phew, I got through it and you still have one. Like that table is expecting the same greatness as any of one of those tables in the middle.
Mm-hmm. You know? Listen.
I don't care how beat up you are and who hurt you. Okay? Because I will be watching you and listening to your 43-second spiel on the last table, and it better be flawless.
Hi. Welcome to the Modern Waiter Podcast. I'm Marlon Joseph, the Modern Waiter, where we discuss all things restaurant business. Learn something. Laugh at something. On today's episode, we have part two of Help Wanted already in progress. We take a look at the challenges restaurants have in getting workers. And with our management perspective, we have Jason Raymond. But first, the intro.
I'm tired of working deadbeat jobs for lame pay. I'm tired of getting fired and hired the same day. If you know the rules of the game, then you'll stay. And if you don't, then you'll be a pawn while they play. I'm tired of working deadbeat jobs.
Talk to me about this. What's your gripe with me now? What's going on?
Oh, man. Mother's Day show. Listen, man, you guys in your special occasions and like bashing birthdays. People for loving birthdays and coming in for Mother's Day, and you guys said, don't even come in. Like, what the hell are you talking about?
Listen, they listen to me because we're busier now than on Mother's Day. Okay?
I have so many things that I just want to... I'm not going to get upset. I promise myself we'll get upset.
But remember I want to discuss... anger management classes, okay?
Yes, we now call this healthy conflict.
All right.
Okay, so that's where we're at.
Lay it on me. Let me hear you out.
All right. So, I listened to the Mother's Day show on the way here for the second time just so I could get most of this down. So you said, first of all,
me.
Both of you guys.
Okay. What was said?
Yeah. Yeah, you.
Who hurt you?
Well, that's what I felt like when I was listening to it. I was like, who hurt you guys? We need to talk about this?
Yeah. Yes, let's talk about it.
All right, so,
obviously we were hurt. Yes. Something happened.
Well, because you guys go back and forth, too, and you're like, yeah, don't even come in. And then Danny's like, yeah, what are you doing? It's like going to be a complete shit show all day. So if you're, for me, I always find it the biggest compliment if you come in for those days. Now, how the restaurant handles that business, that is a completely separate topic.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it should not be a complete mess of a day. So here's how we run our shifts on Mother's Day, which is the busiest day of the year for us. So
okay, talk to me.
On Mother's Day this year, we serve 2,600 people between the two restaurants.
Okay.
So
that's massive.
Yes. And it was the most flawless victory we've ever had on Mother's Day, period. And usually it is, but this year, obviously, people really wanted to come out. So we filled in even the slower times that generally start like at 10 to 11 for brunch. And then we filled in the 8 to 9 o'clock, which really got us to those numbers. But so generally on days like that, I will adjust our turn times in open table to get as many people in as we can, but to a certain degree of reasonability. But what I do on a day like Mother's Day is I don't. So I leave that buffer in there because the last thing you want to do is have a mother come in and be upset on Mother's Day, because that really is the Super Bowl of restaurants to me. Okay. So you do not want to be a part of hashtag Mother's Day 2021 disaster. So because they will never forget a holiday in which you screwed it up. So, and I have learned that a long time ago.
Right. Yeah.
So we have that buffer. So no matter what, like, and all the veteran servers there know this, and they were telling the new servers, because the new servers are nervous, they're looking at the numbers. So I saw during lineup one of the girls lean over and then told the girl, and I heard it, and I was like, what did you just say? She said, you will never let this restaurant feel like it's out of control. So, and that's how it was. Like, so every server had the perfect amount of tables. They were rotating through all day long.
Everybody's not you.
Yeah. I'm waiting for him. But this is what I'm saying. Yeah, but this is what I'm saying. But and this all goes back to the culture of the restaurant and caring and not fighting for trying to scrape every dollar by. You're first of all, it's such a trickle down effect of by doing that, you are stressing out the service staff, you are stressing out the kitchen, you're stressing out the managers. Then nobody's happy to be there. There's nothing better than me on that day being able to sit back in the corner and just watching everything work and nobody's rushing around. The line, yeah, I mean, the line works really hard, obviously, because they're putting out an enormous amount of food. Mm-hmm. But nobody is stressed. And the
machine works, and I like that. When places the machine works, and we're not saying our machines don't work, but on busy, let's say a stressful, more busier day, I think that's what we were getting out on the show where...
Listen, the machine working, it's like you're driving a new car, okay? You're driving a sports car. Your capability of driving on the highway and, you know, you're able to cruise, okay? Some restaurants are maybe not the sports car, and you take them over 75 miles an hour, they start to shimmy, okay? You take them to 95 miles an hour, they start to pull and shake, all right? Now, I hear what you're saying. It reminds me, did you watch, you're not into Marvel stuff, but so I'll talk to Danny. Right?
I am into Marvel you are? Stuff. I love it.
Did you see, what's this latest one, the with...
Winter Soldier?
Yes.
Falcon and Winter Soldier. Yeah, I did.
When Zemo was talking about, spoiler alert, he was saying, hey, you take the super serum and you become a super soldier, you change as a person.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And he said, oh, it didn't corrupt Steve. And he's like, there's never been another Steve Rogers now,
exactly.
Has there.
Yes.
Right? You're I don't want to say you're a one-off because there are a lot of good restaurants that don't overbook on Mother's Day. Or, listen, I've had conversations with guests and they say, oh, it's crazy tonight. And I look at them and I say, I could only have four tables.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay? How busy can it be? You know? Mm-hmm. But there is something that happens on a busy night when people stop functioning the way that they normally do.
And that actually that kind of happened on my Mother's Day, and I had to bring people back to, like, you know, this year it was my Mother's Day was pretty smooth, but my kitchen started to go down, and I had to go in there, and, you know, the people running Expo all freaking out and sending out stuff wrong. I'm like, yeah, or complaining about, like, little things like, oh, we don't do, there's no substitutions, blah, blah, blah. Well, I go, you're out. I remember at one point we were out of something. And mm-hmm. I go, and I didn't sub anything. I go, we didn't have a fish that they wanted. So I offered to give them a different fish, but with the same setup as the fish that they wanted. I go, you guys have everything else but the fish. I go, and you don't have the fish. So don't scream at me for changing something that you don't have. Okay? This is Mother's Day. She's going to get what she wants because you don't have it. And they're like... And they kind of, they lost it for a second, and then they calmed themselves down. I was like, he's kind of right, and I just walked out the kitchen.
Yeah, and the great thing is that you're actually on the ocean, so it would be great is that if you could point out to the beach and see one of your chefs with an actual line of water.
Right?
Be like, look at what we're doing for you, Mom.
Exactly.
You know? I don't know what kind of fish it's going to be, but it's going to be a fish.
We're going to catch something fresh.
Holistically, I think that people miss the point, you know. I get on busier days, you may run out of things, mm-hmm. or you want to make those money because you're in business to make money. So I don't vilify you. I get overbooking. It's like airlines overbook because there's going to be a certain amount of cancellations or attrition or whatever, what have you. But what they miss is you have to be able to have enough support staff. You have to be able to have enough stock. The wheels have to be greased, and they just don't grease those wheels, you know?
Well, because you're not seeing the big picture,
they
and I think that's the problem.
Picture.
The big picture from a day like Mother's Day is we serve more people that day than we serve the rest of the year. So the effect of that is there's a lot of those people that are in those large parties that have never even seen our restaurant before. Yes. So you are showing out for everybody else in the restaurant, not just the mother
or the father
that chose your place. So yeah, and it's also the most reviewed day because that's the most reservations that come through on Open Table. Mm-hmm. So you have to think ahead. Like, this could actually set up our entire year. And this year specifically, you have a pandemic going on and people that haven't even been out yet. And then this is the first time that they're out.
Absolutely.
So we're showing them a couple things. If they've never been there, we're showing them who we are as a restaurant and how we can control a busy day and like how smooth it is. And that's what people, they walk in with that baggage of like, oh my God, it's going to be a disaster. It's busy. It's Mother's Day. And then they leave with like, this is perfect. Like it was nice and easy, calm. And then, you know, so like those things are really important to the business itself. It's just like, you have to see the big picture and not just think about that day.
Correct. Now, when you asked who hurt you, I've been screwed over on Mother's Day. You know, sections expanding, removing tables, you know, putting more tables down the dock where there are no tables before. What happens to that extra, let me guess and say it's an extra 40 seats down there. Who's making who's clearing those tables? Who's making those drinks? That's, you're stressing out your bar, you're stressing out your dishwasher, you're stressing out the kitchen, and those become choke points. So your best assets for performing for people who are coming to your restaurant for the first time, the reason why they're coming to your restaurant, someone wants to show them a good time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So one person's making this reservation, saying, hey, I'm vouching for this place.
Yeah.
And you're basically saying, I'm going to, you know, I'll gladly mess this up for dollars today and mess up your dollars long term. Because if you disappoint an eight top, there's eight people that are grumbling and eight permutations
eight
of
pay. It can become 80.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and first of all, on a day like that, if you're trying to book a week out, you've already missed a spot. So you're not, first of all, you're walking in not eating at the time you want to eat at. So like all these things are becoming against the guests, which is even more the reason why that experience has to be flawless, because you can't That's give them point. Another reason to be upset.
True.
So they wanted to eat at 11 o'clock, but the only time they could eat was 2:30. You know, like that's, and they say yes. You know, it's because they want to eat at their favorite restaurant. So that's how you have to view it when they walk in the door. Mm-hmm. So, and that's what I tell the crew in lineup before a day like that. I'm like, you got to understand that the service has to be flawless from the first table to the last. There's no warm up table. And then there's no like last table, like, phew, I got through it and you still have one. Like that table is expecting the same greatness as any of one of those tables in the middle. Mm-hmm. You know,
listen.
I don't care how beat up you are and who hurt you. Okay? Because I will be watching you and listening to your 43-second spiel on the last table, and it better be flawless.
Well, no. It's tough, man. It's tough. I'm telling you right now, it is tough.
Well, you got to remember, it's never the guest's fault. It shouldn't be the guest's fault. You know what I mean?
Well, not at first.
No.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you come to the table with good content and they give you good, you know, good energy back, I don't think you're ever going to have an issue as a server, you know, because you're already riding off of that kind of energy, you know.
I mean,
and like with anybody, people can rub you the wrong way off initial. That's just normal life. You know, there's always going to be that asshole or this or that, you know, that kind of just pushes your button the wrong mm-hmm. way. And that could just throw you in the wrong loop off the rip. And you got to kind of come back from that.
Right. You're trying to almost, when you first meet somebody, like mend a relationship that just started 5 seconds ago. Yeah. But it's like mending something that happened traumatic in a relationship where you've been friends with somebody for like 20 years, exactly. But you got to do it in 5 minutes somehow and bring them back. So, and that's what we do. We call it, people come in with a certain amount of baggage before they walk in the mm-hmm. door. And all that baggage generally is all the past shit dining experiences they've had in the past. And then, so our job in the first 10 minutes is to break down that barrier of like that we're different.
Yeah.
So, and that's really important. So, and our regulars that come in, that have been with us hundreds of times or whatever, we have to somehow exceed that same expectation that they've had every time they walk to the door. Mm. But like to your point, yeah, I mean, If you're a business that's trying to scrape every dollar in, you're going to inevitably fail if you don't see the big picture of if you just do really well with the 800 instead of 1,000, mm-hmm. those 800 people will bring back way more than that.
Extra 200.
Yeah, those 40 extra seats that, like, you're way down at the end of the dock. You don't want to be there. I mean, it's not even a seat. Exactly.
Parking lot adjacent.
Yeah, nobody wants to sweat in their food. I mean, that's just like...
It's
uncomfortable. Like, and that person that's sitting there, that doesn't mean like they're a walk-in. That means that could be somebody that's like a regular. They got stuck at that table. They wanted to show somebody a good time. And now they're like, they're apologizing to the rest of the table when they sit down.
This isn't normally how it is.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that's a terrible way to start, you know?
But that is pervasive.
But why is that on you as the server? I'm saying, like, that's not fair. That's not fair. That's somebody putting you in a really bad position.
You never want your servers to go into survival mode.
Ever.
And that's how I describe it. It's going into survival mode. You have to have a thriving mentality. You know, when I'm at the table, I really want to assess and communicate and enjoy each other's company. You know, that I tell people, like, hey, I enjoyed your company. You know, thanks for coming. You know, I enjoy this. That's why, you know, I love this business. I tell people all the time, I don't particularly care for people, but I love, you know, I love what I do. It's an odd place to be.
Yeah. Well, and also understand that in a table like that, when they sit down and they're not happy, the most scared person in that restaurant doesn't work there. It's the father sitting at the table at Mother's Day. That is the guy that's the most scared because he's like, oh my God, what just happened? It's Mother's Day. I'm supposed to be taking care of my wife, my mother, and you guys just put me in this situation and now I hate you all.
All right.
So, and you can see the fear on their eyes. They're like,
"What's next besides the Mother's Day?"
Are you getting more?
No,
I mean something.
No, I did.
Do you go out to like? Okay, let's say I'm. No. I don't want to say terrified. Generally, we've talked about this before. I prefer if I'm going to go out to dinner. I'm scared about going on a Friday and Saturday night.
Oh yeah.
You know.
You don't go on amateur night. But we also work in this business. We know how hectic those days are.
So and let's talk about that. Like, hectic. Why? Why is the, you know, I think about the why. When you're waiting for a table, where are you going to wait? You know, if there's no room at the bar, you can't sit at the bar. Where are you going to collectively kind of
gather?
Yeah. To wait for your table, how long? You know, it's natural to wait. That's just and then when you sit down, how long are you gonna have to wait for your server? Mm-hmm. How long are you gonna have to wait for your drinks? How long are you gonna have to wait for your food? And I would rather wait for my food. I get scared when my food comes too quickly.
True.
You know, were you just pre-cooking it and sandbagging it, you know what I mean? So you're a conscientious person and you think of the whole thing, but when a restaurant goes into survival mode, you're not giving people the best, you know?
I haven't been out on a Friday or a Saturday if I haven't been on a vacation for, I can't even tell you when the last time. And yeah, I agree. I don't like those crowds. Again, it's not saying that, you know, our restaurants, I'm confident if I walked into our restaurant on Friday and Saturday that you would not have that experience.
And you don't want to give off the bad experience, but we also, I think from being in the game, we know what happens on those days. I think that's why we avoid them overall, because it is that busy. We don't want to be maybe that 1-5% that, you know, gets caught in the crossfire.
What
it breaks down. Because you want to 95% of the time be what they want to see every time,
okay? Right.
But we already know there's that 1-5%. It's you're gonna get lost in the middle.
Yeah.
You get caught, you know what I mean? And that's what happens.
Yeah,
and we just don't want to never be a part of that. I think in our mind, like, yo, we don't want to be that table that gets stuck with this or that. And I think that's why we don't go out.
Yeah, well, it's confidence to me. Like, do I have the confidence in this place to go out on a Friday and Saturday and sit down and have a great experience? In some restaurants, like one of my favorite ones, I only sit at the bar
mm-hmm.
because I have that person's attention right in front of me.
Right in front of you, yeah.
And it's one of the only restaurants where I'll go where the food is good, but the service sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Like generally, if the service isn't good, I'll never go back. But this place, the food is good enough. But only if you sit at the bar and have that service experience, because if I need something, they're right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's important to me. But yeah, I mean, I don't like crowds anyways. Mm-hmm. So for me, yeah, like you said, for our restaurant, we also have, like, if you reserve an open table, we have instructions on, like, what to do. Like, if you, whether it's a patio reservation, how to dress to make sure, like, we have all these things lined out. Now, whether everybody reads it or not, it's still communication. Yeah, absolutely. Which I think, you know, communication, I think, is a, that's something we can definitely talk about. Because, like, that's the key huge. To this, that's the key to this whole business.
Yeah, that's really
you're able to reserve the patio? Or?
And this is where we kind of go above and beyond, and it has morphed into something more. So never before this pandemic have we ever been able to, as a guest, reserve the patio.
Okay.
So, but now, because 75% of our reservations want to go on the patio because of what's happening, and still to this day is still happening, when it was colder outside, what we would do is we would call you the day before, let you know what the weather's going to be, and then ask you if you still want to be on the patio, because we would either assign you for sure outside or assign you inside. So two reasons for that. First of all, we don't want you to get there. It's freezing outside, even though, yes, you're thinking in your head it's the guest. They should know what the temperature is outside. They should, you know, they're adults, whatever. In the end, we take that on as our responsibility. So, and we cannot reserve two places for you in the restaurant because now you're taking up valuable space. Mm-hmm. So the day before, we want you to know that. So then when we assign you outside, that's the other reason. Now we can, for the first time, have more reservations inside that are booking because we were able to put you outside.
Gotcha.
So, and that was the cold weather. Now it's funny because it's shifting hot. In Atlanta this week, it's record heat. It's in the mid-90s every day, which is not usual for this time of year. But so now we're calling people the day before and asking them if they want to be on the patio because it's going to be really hot. And are you aware? So now we're like heading that off. Mm-hmm. And all of this stuff is about communication. It's about heading it off for when they come in Absolutely. The door and they have that conversation with you at the door. You don't want to be stuck and where you can't answer. Mm-hmm. They're like, well, why aren't we outside? Or like, it's too hot outside. We want to be inside. Oh, well, we don't have a table for you inside because we're full. So avoiding that whole conversation while being considerate enough to actually call these people the day before. That just, again, it's, I don't want to be in a situation. That is one of my biggest pet peeves in life. Pet peeves, fears, is being asked a question that I don't have an answer to that makes any sense.
Yeah.
And people, they know when you're full of shit. Mm-hmm. So your answer better be well thought out and quick. Because some people will sink their claws into you immediately when you do not have the right answer.
Mm. And one of the things I do as a server, like I communicate. I feel like I communicate very, very well to my tables. And I'll even remind them, like, hey, I just told you, okay, that I don't like X, Y, Z like 2 seconds ago, okay? And I'll make it funny just like that. And the guest will laugh. But they'll be like, yeah, he's right. Or the person next to be like, he did just tell you that. Okay, like.
Right, exactly, right. No, yeah, and I part of the Mother's Day show, you were talking about communication. And every step of the way, if you're communicating to the guest and making them feel like you, that in the end, that's what it does. It makes them feel like you care about their experience. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, like we have certain things in place that we do during the experience. If we're late on your reservation time, at 15 minutes, the manager goes up to you and tells you like what's going on and communicates mm-hmm. with you. And before that, the hostess is always communicating with you on what's going on. When we had 20 minutes, that means that you're going to have a drink in your hand while you're waiting.
Yeah.
25 minutes comes. That means that when you sit down, we're going to have appetizers. We have these 3 appetizers we send to the table. We have waiting for you at the table. Server comes up and thanks you for being patient, even though they weren't a part of the process. So now what it does is it shows the guests that every facet of this restaurant cares about you, even though they're not related in that moment. Mm. And that's just like a simple like, wow. Everybody here really cares about me. And it's the same thing with something as simple as filling people's water.
Yeah.
Like, it's not the SA's responsibility or your server's responsibility. There's been, if somebody comes up and drops your food that's not your server and then starts filling all your waters, it shows that we have this continuity in the restaurant where everybody cares.
Yes.
I used to walk by tables and pick up things that weren't there. I just used to walk by, pretend like I was picking something up, put it in my pocket, and then just walk away. And it would just show the guests that I am caring about their table. We should just call it the ghost pickup. So
hilarious.
But that just shows the guests like, wow, the managers came by and you saw something on the table and picked it up.
That's next level.
I picked up absolutely nothing. But the thing is, so all of these things, they take is somebody to give a shit enough to do it and to care. Mm. It's all about caring. So, but you have to have an entire fleet of people that care, which again goes all the way back to the hiring process of hiring that person. So, and that is a culture that has been set long ago. And it's not like you can't curb the culture at some point to be this, but if you don't start off like that, to curb it is going to be difficult, but it can be done.
Yeah.
But it starts with the hiring process. Like, that's where it all begins, everything.
Let's talk about hygiene theater.
Hygiene theater.
Talk to me. What is that?
So, part of it was one of the reasons why we decided to take our gloves off, so to speak. But yeah, it's exactly. That was a good one. I've only said that 1,000 times now. But yeah, so the gloves is a very inconvenient part of what we were doing. We were probably the last people in the country to still use gloves all the time. Servers, bartenders, everybody. Makes the job difficult. But a couple of reasons. I mean, money wasn't a big thing, but gloves went from $20 a case pre-pandemic to $230 a case as of last week.
Wait.
A case of gloves.
Case of gloves.
You heard it correct. So it went from $20 a case to now $240 a case.
Demand, baby.
Damn.
So we were spending...
glove business.
We were, yeah.
You talked to Boyan when he was here? Just about the demand of like what's going in and out? Yeah, I believe it. Everybody's raising prices.
It's bonkers.
It's coming from the people that are bringing it to you to all across the board, yeah.
Yeah, and a supply line thing, we can talk about that too, because that's bananas.
Yeah.
But the glove thing, yeah. So pre-pandemic, $20 a case... post-pandemic, when we first came back, it was $120 a case. And then it's just been going up since. So as of last week, it was $230, $225.
Wrong business.
So, yeah. Wrong business. So it was costing us $2,500 a month per restaurant for gloves alone. But that wasn't the reason why we got rid of them. It's first of all, when you have gloves on, we call it hygiene theater because nobody's washing their hands like they should be washing their hands if they didn't have gloves on. So it's actually less safe.
Yeah.
Because we're also not perfect, but after a while, when a server has to change their gloves 80 times, it slows down service immensely. Mm-hmm. So they were getting better at things like, more devious sometimes. I'd walk around the corner and I'd see a server like sanitizing their gloves instead of their actual hands. Mm-hmm. And then so they'd rub the sanitizer on their gloves because they're like, I'm not changing my gloves for the 80th time today. Like, I don't have time for this. Or like you said, like opening a bottle of wine, like some of these girls that work for us, yeah, we had like small gloves, mm-hmm. but their hands were still drowning in the gloves. Mm-hmm. And it's so hard to open a bottle of wine that way. So, but the CDC never really recommended to have gloves on unless you're touching ready-to-eat foods.
Yeah.
So we were never doing that. So we just did it as like an extra step. But in the end, it's not preventing anything, which is why it's called hygiene theater.
Gotcha.
You know, it's not preventing the spread of the virus.
No.
They've also concluded, obviously, a long time ago that the virus does not spread on surfaces like they said. So that was all a bunch of crap anyway.
Yeah.
So... But like the sanitizer on the tables, like we were putting sanitizer down. There's only one sanitizer out there that actually kills the COVID vaccine, and it's from a company called Ecolab. We weren't using that. We were using regular sanitizer, and then
I think I know the exact sanitizer you're talking about too. I know the Ecolab one.
Yeah, and that's great. But again, like the contact surfaces were not in a, it doesn't spread that way. That's not how it spreads. So we were going to every table, sanitizing the table, letting it sit for 30 seconds, and then coming back with like soapy water in another spray bottle and spraying it on top and then wiping it off. Mm. And then wiping all the chairs off and wiping all the seats off. That process took a long time. Mm-hmm. People really appreciated what we were doing. But in the end, the sanitizer actually took the finish off of every one of our tables. Mm. So, like, again, that's the hygiene theater of it. We didn't need to do any of that, but we just did it because
for the show.
We were going above and beyond, mm-hmm. and we needed to show people that. And we put ourselves in this position where we are the safe place to go.
Yeah.
So we were worried about it because Mother's Day weekend is when I brought everybody to line up in both restaurants and I told them to take their gloves off and throw them up in the air like they were graduating from high school because we finally get to take them off. And you know how many people said something about our gloves being off for the weekend we served like 3,000 people? Zero. None. Not one person said anything. Not one person cared. Not one person said, you know, hey, can you wear gloves? And because I said, if your table requests for you to wear gloves, we'll wear them. That's totally fine. But that's for your table. If you want to wear gloves yourself because you feel more safe, you can. That's totally fine. So, yeah, that's all part of the hygiene theater. We're just... You know, we have the plexiglass barriers in between each bar seat still. Mm-hmm. We have plexiglass berries in the dining room. But like outside, all of our tables are back to normal. Like we're not, because you're outside.
Yeah.
You know, like, again, the CDC recommendation is 3.5 feet now, not 6 feet. So we haven't brought that back inside, but outside we feel like it's time. And then, you know, now it's the mask thing. And so it's we're all wearing masks, even though a lot of restaurants in Georgia right now are not. They decided to take them off, which I still think it's too early to rip that Band-Aid off.
Yeah.
I don't think that's right. I think people are still scared. We are catering to the person that is the most scared coming to the restaurant.
Yeah.
So if somebody comes in and they have, like, and there's people that I know, regulars that I know really well, they'll say, oh, when are you taking the mask off? With the intention is not good when they're saying that to me. I was like, what is it? The good thing is it doesn't affect you at all. So it doesn't, matter. Exactly. So what do you care? Like, you know, oh, we just miss your face. I was like, okay, well, just go find me on Facebook. Okay. Big picture of my dome right there. But yeah, that's part of it too.
I miss my face.
Yeah.
But I've gotten so used to the mask now. I mean, it's,
but some people take their mask off and you're like, ooh, can you put that back on?
I get it's so weird. I've had like new people that I haven't seen their face, and you just end up like projecting onto them what their face looks like, and they take it off. He's like, whoa, like,
yeah, well, you look like Venom from the nose down.
You're like, oh, they look good, yo. You're expecting, yeah. And then you're like, ooh,
yeah,
I got that. You're like, ooh, just put that back.
You crushed me.
My favorite, like, I've had people go, you look like, if, like, you know, people, like, if I'm going out, like, oh, you look exactly how I thought you looked with your mask off. They're like, well, what did you guys expect?
Like a train wreck.
Right?
I had a busser after, you know, weeks of working with him. I had sat down at a table to eat something real quick, and he's like, hey, Marlon, I saw you with your mask off. I didn't expect you to, you know, never seen you. I was like, well, what do you think I looked like? But it's hard to quantify, because I think it's just the fact that you didn't know what the person looked like.
Yeah, you were from a ninja to the other.
Right, exactly. But yeah, man, this whole year, it's just, I did a post today on Facebook, just a memory came up from a year ago where we did this like real short video just of when we reopened our doors for the first time, May 23rd. Nice. What is that? What is that, liquor? What's in
He's
that?
He's still in the shift drink mode.
I was going to say, did you pee in that before you forgot?
No, it made this swirling noise. I've been so careful to not make a noise. And I was like, Danny's going to yell at me.
It's okay. We talked about it. We'll be fine.
Yeah. Right. No, but yeah, it's just, it's been a hell of a year. You know, I did that Facebook post today just... It just came up on my memories from a year ago and how fast a year has gone by. But just where we've come, I don't think we'll fully understand until the next couple of years go by and we're like completely out of it, where we can look back and kind of see, like, you know, how we made it, why some of the people made it, why some of the people didn't. And it's not going to be for reasons that you think. And in the end, it really comes down to people. And that's what it's all about. You know, it's how people were treated, whether you're the guests, whether you're the staff. It's, you know, and that's what people are going to remember, you know? So.
Definitely, man. Thank you so much for giving us your time once again. I love our little conversations and things like that. We're going to, you have time to grab some food? Or
absolutely.
Are you heading back?
Yeah, and I wanted to say something about you guys, too. So, I have a lot of respect for people that... start off small, and then as they progress, they start perfecting their craft. And I feel like you guys have really done a great job at just the relentless nature you guys have to make every show better.
Thank you.
And I'm pretty sure all your listeners out there also appreciate that, because you guys bring it every week, and it's always something new, it's always something better, you know, and that's a lot of respect for that. So
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
It's a tough road.
Yeah.
You know, we're pretty, maybe I'm hard on Danny.
Ah, it's all
you know,
but that's what makes you better. It's appreciating that process, you know? And then again, like, you look back and you're like, you listen to your first shows. Like, I remember listening to one of your first shows, and you could only hear on the right side, you know? And I was like, what is going on? I think I texted you, too.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, you're like, yeah. And, you know, and again, it's never happened again since then. And you'll have new issues that come up. But you guys, just content-wise and just the quality of the podcast is just – every week it just gets better.
Thank you.
So,
thank you.
Yeah, man. I appreciate it. We're grateful. And people communicate with us, and that gives us wings, you know.
Yeah, it gives us content. It gives us, you know, lets us know where we're lacking at. And that's what we want. We want to hear what we could do better or what angle we can go to kind of touch on things that people want to hear about. And that's really what we're here for.
Yeah, and we're still finding the way, you know. We're coming out with a second episode coming up.
A little bit of different kind of podcast. You know, this is our baby, and we're expanding into a funnier, different. Not, I don't even want to call it funnier. A different aspect of what we're talking about.
It's off the cuff. It's going to be on location. It's going to be Danny and I talking about our shift. You know,
it's called Shift Drinks.
No,
Shift
that's Drinks cool.
Right after that's cool. Right after yeah. work. And, you know, we recorded one yesterday, and it's going to remind you of our first episode because it's solving problems about being in an environment and we're at and a restaurant.
It's given us a whole new kind of dynamic. So we have to learn from that, you know, the ambient sounds, and because we want the ambient sounds there. But at the same time, we want to be able to make sure that we're still doing great quality product for everybody to hear.
Right.
Yeah.
No, that's cool. That's a whole new perspective, too.
Yeah.
Because you know how, you know, that's a perfect name for it, Shift Drinks, because that's when all the drama talk goes down.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's so I still am weirded out by where I work because I work with all males, you know? And that energy has no buffer, you know? It's a wave just coming in to the shore, you know, unimpeded by any barriers or islands or anything like that. And male energy is super odd, but it also dissipates right away. You know, like you have guys that would scream at each other, but they don't mean anything. You know, it's just amped up.
And it's not personal. Yeah. It's in the moment. Yeah. It's heated at the end. Yeah. You know, bro hug. It's over.
Yeah. It's so wild. And it struck me odd because, you know, we had, you know, male and female servers before, and you know, you kind of tiptoe a little bit differently, but dudes don't tiptoe around other dudes at all. You know, it's just like you call them out, you call them names, you know, you punch them, not really punch them, but you're physical with them, which I don't care for.
No, but, man, that's got to end when you're like 18. Come on,
it doesn't end. It's. I mean, it's not.
We shouldn't be giving noogies anymore. Come on, man.
Yeah. So thanks again. If you are in Atlanta, check out my man. He's going to show you a good time at Seed Kitchen, or Stem Wine Bar, or Drift Oyster Bar for a great experience. And thank you to the listeners again. You do help us grow. If you do enjoy our show, pass it on to a friend. Tell them you listened to the Modern Waiter podcast, and it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I'm active on Instagram if you want to reach out to me at the Modern Waiter podcast, or if you want to email me, people do. I respond all the time. I'm themodernwaiter@gmail.com. So once again, you'll hear from us next week. We do this each and every week for you.
Oh, wait, you got to tell them about, you know, our network.
Yes, yes, yes. We are very proud to be a part of the One Star Podcast Network. That is your one-stop shop for your restaurant-related podcasts.
Yes.
We got it. We got the copper and the heat.
Yes.
We got Confessions of a Server.
Sidework podcast.
We just had those ladies. In your mouth. My man, in your mouth. And the Macaroni Zone.
Yes.
And fun fact, each day of the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, the weekdays, we drop a podcast.
Yeah.
From that network,
mm-hmm.
And we're a band of pirates finding our way, and it's pretty cool. We kind of support each other, and you know, I listen to as many as I can, but I try not to listen because
you gotta keep yourself fresh for your own show.
You gotta keep yourself fresh for your own show.
Yeah, it's almost like music. Like when you get a good artist, they'll tell you, they listen to music like when in between, but then when they go into studio mode, you can't hear anything but yourself for a while. So you got to kind of just find your voice.
Yeah, find your voice, and but it's cool because you want to be educated, but you don't want to be influenced, if absolutely. that makes sense. Mm-hmm. You know? So, yeah, thank you so much. And thank you for everybody that reaches out. Thank you. But I'm Marlon Joseph, the Modern Waiter. Thank you so much.
I'm Dana Bill. Subscribe, people. We'll see you next time.
Yeah, Jason, thank you.
Later.
But I'm so glad you came here. Your wait is now over. But I'm so glad.